Have you ever thought about expanding your customer base by offering shipping? Today we talk with expert furniture finisher Natalie Dayton of A Ray of Sunlight. She has created a guide and videos that are essentially all you need to know to get started in shipping your pieces. We hear from Whitney Marzullo of White House on the Square as she shares her solution to getting rid of those unwanted smells from old furniture pieces. Our Zebra crew member Bree Hansen shares about her upcoming creative projects that are fun and simple to create in her Zebra Home Crafting with Bree series. And we'll provide you with the details of the Zebra Review June theme contest in our newsworthy section. I'm your Zebra host, Lane Ball. Welcome to Zebra's Before and After. Shipping my pieces? Yeah, that could expand my customer base dramatically, but I don't have the time to do shipping research, and I'm nervous about the idea of shipping my furniture hundreds of miles from my studio. What if a piece doesn't arrive the way I shipped it? Today's podcast is just for you. We have the privilege of chatting once again with Natalie Dayton of A Ray of Sunlight. If you recall, she was on our podcast last year in Season 1, Episode 6, and we spent some time talking about how to broaden your customer base by offering shipping. Natalie is known not only for her superb furniture refinishing, but also her expertise in shipping furniture. Hi, Natalie. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really good. You know, I always like asking folks this because the pandemic has affected everybody, but how has your refinishing business been during this pandemic?
You know, it hasn't changed too much except for locally selling furniture. It's been like, I can't help you set it out on the curb and, you know, you're on your own to pick it up. But other than that, things honestly have been pretty normal around our house.
Well, that's really good to hear. I know that that's been true for most people. So that's, I know a lot of people are grateful for that. So that's good to hear. So, you know, Natalie, you are the shipping queen. You have just finished up revising your online shipping guide, which includes several YouTube videos. And I just have to say, I've reviewed your guide and the videos, and they're so well done, graphically pleasing, nicely laid out, not overwhelming, but very helpful. I just would like to start out. I'd like for listeners to get sort of the bird's eye view of your guide and your tutorials and provide some insight into the effort that you put into this, because extremely helpful. And I really like that you started out with your shipping story. And that's really good because you share your failures, mistakes in the learning process. And that is, of course, helpful for those who don't want to repeat the same mistakes. I mean, nobody wants to repeat mistakes. If you can learn from others' mistakes, then that's a huge plus. So it really is a blessing to learn from others in that regard. So one of the stories you share that when you first started shipping, you said the casters on a dresser broke off in transit. You state, lesson learned, exclamation. What was the lesson learned here?
You know, the lesson learned was that I needed to up my game with packaging furniture. I didn't really know how to package, and so I was just kind of winging it. I guess I should have learned better because, you know, well, I learned my lesson when the casters arrived broken and I had to ship new casters out, and I was stressed out and worried for my customer and, oh no, I can't do this shipping thing. After that point, I learned, okay, I can do this, but I need to learn to package better. And since then, I've upped my packaging game. I've learned the guidelines, the best way to package stuff. And so that's the biggest takeaway that I learned from that mistake.
Well, I know a lot of people that are thinking about shipping, they've never shipped before, but they know they want to broaden their customer base. And, you know, they're thinking about a number of different things, which you address in this guide and in the YouTube videos. But one of the questions that I think a lot of folks will have as well is with respect to bad experiences or potentially unresolvable experiences in shipping to a customer. I mean, some may fear that you go to the trouble to ship and they receive it, the customer receives the furniture piece and the color is not what they thought, or they just don't like it. Anything like that happened? And if so, how did you handle it?
Yeah, I actually did have somebody, I think it was only one person, who complained about the color after they got it, that it just wasn't the right shade. And I hate when stuff like that happens, but at the same time, I cover myself before they even purchase the piece. So in my policies, in my listings, down at the bottom, I say, due to, I can't remember the exact wording, but basically because variations in the screen, like pictures look different on my phone compared to how they look on my computer, drives me batty. But if I already see the variations between two different devices, how many different variations are there going to be across the country to all of the potential customers? So I have that little clause in there that basically says that, you know, you can't return a piece of furniture because the color wasn't right. I can send you a physical sample of the color, but I can't actually guarantee that the color that you're seeing on the screen is the same color that the piece of furniture is. Plus, you know, in different light, furniture looks different. So anyways, I just explained that to my customer, and I actually never heard back from her. I guess that she just figured that, well, I guess it was worth trying, but I'm not going to do any, you know, no sense doing anything else. I feel bad. It's not the right color for the customer, but at the same time, I do everything that I possibly can do to make the color look the same as in person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard, but you can't be punished because you've done everything that you possibly can, but it's just not right for your customer. And I think most people understand that.
Yeah. And especially when you're dealing with color. And I think it's funny that you said that about two different devices. I mean, that's one of the things that's always been a bit frustrating for me as well, because, you know, monitor calibration is so important. But you can have your monitor calibrated correctly, but that doesn't mean everybody else's is going to be calibrated, you know, in sync with yours. Well, Natalie, chapter 2 is list your furniture on Etsy and why. I have to first ask you, am I saying Etsy right?
Yeah.
Okay, Etsy. Cool. All right. My daughter declared, I think, well, maybe I was starting out saying Etsy. So maybe that's why she said, that's not right. You got to say Etsy. So
whatever.
Would you say that it's absolutely a must to sell on Etsy if you want to offer shipping?
Yeah, because how else are you going to get thousands and thousands of paying customers to your website or to your Facebook? I mean, if you have tried to get traffic, organic traffic to your website or whatever it may be, you have probably seen that it is super, super hard and time consuming. And a lot of us who like to paint furniture are not super tech savvy. And so Etsy makes it super, super easy for us to list our furniture, and they bring customers to us to buy our furniture. So yeah, it's definitely a must.
Wow, that's great. I mean, what a powerhouse that is. And for the retail side of your business, especially with regard to shipping. By the way, I just have to say, in the search bar of Etsy, I typed in refinished furniture, and your tutorial, your guide on shipping popped up in the first few items. So that was impressive, because I know there's a lot of stuff out there. Yeah, that was cool. Will you also explain how to offer free shipping? Why is that important, Natalie?
Okay, so I don't know about you, but when I'm online searching for an item, if I see an item for $15, plus I'm going to have to figure out shipping, or an item for $20 and free shipping, I'm going to go for the $20 one, because I don't have to figure out and like, oh, I got to go calculate the shipping costs, and oh, well, I'm going to get free shipping if I spend $50. Okay, but then I have to add how much more to my cart. So I would just rather go to the free shipping. I mean, that's what Amazon does. Then so many people love the free shipping, even though we all know that the cost to ship is rolled into our membership fee and the price of the items. It's the same thing with Etsy. And Etsy actually, in the last year or so, has really started pushing free shipping. So they actually have an incentive for you to offer free shipping on any listing that is over $35. Basically, they will bump up your listing in their search if you are going to offer free shipping. If you're not going to offer free shipping, then they'll kind of bury you down there. Not to say that you can't be found, but it will be harder for their customers to find your stuff because they've done a lot of research and they have found, just like Amazon, that people like free shipping. And so they're really trying to push free shipping. That doesn't mean that you have to ship your piece for free, that you're paying for shipping out of your pocket. The customer is still going to pay for that, but it's all bundled together.
That's really a good point to make, that, you know, you're not saying here that to the refinisher is going to start shipping, that this is going to come out of your pocket. You're just saying you build it into the price so that when the customer is shopping, it just makes it much more easy. It makes it more appealing. But you of course go through that in the guide on how to build that price out. You also state in this section, you win some, you lose some. What do you mean by that?
Okay, so some people like to say, if they're offering free shipping, some people like to have like a jar where sometimes they will, when they ship a piece of furniture, they will actually make a little bit more money on that piece because it didn't cost as much as they thought that it would to ship that piece of furniture. So they put that extra money in a little jar. And then other times, the cost of shipping is going to be more expensive than what you put in your listing. And so you're going to have to take some money out of that jar. Overall, you should actually, for me, I've actually still come out winning most of the time. But there are a few times that you're going to lose some. And if you're losing a lot of times, you probably want to rethink how much you're charging for your shipping in your free shipping. But yeah, that's basically it. You're not always going to win, but you're going to win most of the time. So
yeah,
it all evens out, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And that's a great idea with the jar. Probably just wise to also keep a pad by the jar to find out, you know, so you can do that analysis of like, you know, where you're losing and where you're gaining on that. But but that's a great tip. Well, chapter 3 is how to get a shipping quote even before you know where it's going. And this sort of reflects what you just talked about a little bit. But you go over measurements, locations, photos, valuation, weight, etc. You even mentioned additional expenses that need to be added to the quote. And what I also like in this is you provide a great packing supply list. That probably took some time to go through that.
Yeah, you know, I try to make this guide, like, I put everything in it that I know about shipping. I've been shipping for multiple years now. I can't say how many because I can't remember. I've been painting furniture for 5 years, but I have been shipping for multiple years and I have put everything that I know, everything that I use into this shipping guide. I didn't want to leave anything out, if that makes any sense, because
I
really, the point of this is really to help you because I know there's so many fears with shipping furniture.
Well, you know, we were talking earlier and you mentioned the struggle with the technical side of it, that, you know, you're a furniture painting, you just want to be painting furniture. That's true for this. And I think that's, you know, for people that want to get into shipping, that's one of the big drawbacks. Like, I don't know what to do, and it's going to be a lot of work to try to get myself up to speed, make sure that I'm continuing to earn money and make money off my pieces. But, you know, you've done all that work, and so that's going to save a lot of time for folks. Chapter 4, I bet, required a lot of legwork as well, because you dive into shipping companies. You basically ask the question, who's going to ship my furniture? You share very detailed information about all the potential shipping companies, what they ship, timeline, locations, cost, and the pros and cons. Would you say that this is one of the most important chapters you created?
Yeah, it's the longest chapter out of all of them. Every single shipping company that I use and trust, I have put in here. Every single detail that I could figure out that is important about each of these companies, because you're going to have small pieces that you're not going to want to ship with certain companies because it's not going to be cost effective, or you're going to have large pieces that there's no way that you can ship with other companies because they just don't do that. So I spent a lot of time in this area trying to just give you as much information as possible about every single different company that I have personally used and trust.
Do you feel like that with the research that you did on these companies, do you feel like that that's pretty much covers most of the United States?
So I've been shipping furniture for how many years now, and I have never had to go outside of these companies. Yeah, sure, there's probably more companies out there that I haven't used, but I probably haven't used them because they're more expensive. But these are like the tried and true. If you want to ship furniture, these are the only companies that you're really going to need. No matter where you live in the country, you will be able to start shipping furniture with these companies.
Yeah, and just to throw a shout out to our listening friends outside of the United States, I'm sure that a lot of what Natalie has provided in this guide will be extremely helpful. More than likely, you know, you'll have to do some research on your own with respect to some of the companies. I don't know how many of these companies cross borders, but it still gives you a good guide to find out, generally speaking, the fact that you're going to need to be able to locate those companies to ship different types of sizes of furniture, and depending on where you're shipping them, the shipping company's capabilities is going to change from company to company.
I actually get a lot of questions about if the shipping guide will help if I live in Canada or like the United Kingdom. Honestly, like you just said, I give you, yes, these are the exact companies that I use here in the United States, but you can find very, very similar companies throughout the world. I know some of these for sure will go across the border up into Canada because I live in northern Minnesota. So I have been like, oh, can I ship up to Canada? Like, who actually goes across the border? In Canada, you definitely can use some of these.
Very good to know. Well, chapter 5 is titled Extras. Give us a brief summary of what this entails.
So like insurance, returns and your policies, and do I need a contract? Also tips on how to close the sale, and then also what to do when something goes wrong. Because it's not a question of if something is going to go wrong after you've shipped out 60 different pieces of furniture. It's a matter of when something is going to go wrong. And it might not be your fault. It might just be an angry customer. It might be your fault, but I hope not, because I have included so many of my personal failures in this that I hope that you can learn from those mistakes so then you don't have to make those mistakes. And so then you don't have as many problems in your shipping journey.
Well, chapter 6 is what I do, and you cover several different things in there, like how I ship large, medium, and small pieces right now. I really like this as well. It's sort of like peeking into your shipping process and who you use for each type of piece you refinish. You kind of touched on that a few seconds ago. And then the last chapter is step-by-step guide for shipping furniture. If you don't mind, give us a little bit of an understanding of what that is and how that's going to help the furniture refinisher.
I basically thought, okay, so from the very, very beginning, what are you going to have to do? If there is one like major tip out of all of this, is to basically take everything one step at a time. You're not going to eat a whole elephant in one sitting, and it's the same thing with shipping furniture. If you have never shipped furniture before, you're never going to be able to just all in one day be like, I'm going to start shipping furniture and bam, you know, ship out my piece of furniture. It's going to be a lot of small steps to get you through to the end. And then once you do it a couple of times, you'll be like, oh, this isn't too bad. So I basically just wanted to walk you through every single step. And I did a lot of if and when, like, if your piece of furniture is this size or less, you're going to want to look over here at this shipping company. If your piece is bigger, like, then you're going to want to do this and this. And then after that, you're going to want to do this. And so a lot of times I hear people say, wow, shipping sounds so overwhelming. I don't even know where to start. And so that's why I made this little step-by-step. It's a checklist. I love lists. I love checking things off. And so you can print this out and you can go step-by-step through everything until you've shipped out your very first piece of furniture. And then you can say, wow, that first one, that was a lot of learning for me. The next one, it's going to be so much easier. And then the next one, so much easier. Until you're finally like, sweet, I've got this down. I don't even have to look at this list.
You say you love list. Now, does your husband love list? Does he love your list?
I don't know. I don't usually share my list with him. These are my lists
That's
of my
clever.
Things that I need to do.
You know, Natalie, as you and I chat about this whole process with shipping, and then I think about all the conversations that I've had with you and other furniture refinishers and just the amount of work that goes into finishing a piece and all the different steps. You know, I'm thinking about the shipping portion because now you've just added another process, another segment of furniture refinishing. Do you find yourself dreading that process? What processes do you go through as you're getting to the shipping segment, because it is a good deal of work.
You know, sometimes I love just local pickups because like they're fast, they're easy, but then sometimes I don't like local pickups because then I have to schedule and people come and they're like, oh, I don't know if I like it. Oh, can I look at a different piece? And they're so wishy-washy sometimes. And when I'm shipping furniture, I don't have to deal with people coming into my home or my, because I have a little area inside my home for my furniture that is finished. Mm-hmm. Or like I don't have to clean up my garage so it looks presentable. I can just do my own thing and ship it out. But the one thing about, okay, yes, it's going to take you more time to do shipping, then pay yourself to do the shipping. You know, when you're spending your time packaging up furniture, pay yourself for that. Don't just do that for free. Include the time that it takes for you to take your package to whatever shipping company if they're not coming and picking it up from you. Mm-hmm. You know, include all of that in the cost of shipping. So then it's not just, oh, you know, I'm doing this extra step and I'm not getting paid for it and I'm wasting all this time doing it. No, you really should get paid for that.
That's a really good point. Is that, yeah, again, that you're getting paid to do that process. It's not an absent of that. I mean, this is not an extra step that you're not being compensated for.
Well, and the other thing actually is usually you can get paid a lot more for your furniture online than locally. So that's another way that you're getting paid extra for shipping it. Because if you sell it locally, you're taking a cut. But if you sell it online for an extra few hundred dollars, well, hey, you know, right there, you got paid for your time to ship it online.
You know, as you were, I was sort of laughing under my breath because when you were talking about sometimes you like shipping, sometimes you like it when you have a customer that comes to pick up and, you know, vice versa. You're probably in between an introvert and extrovert, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking if you're a full throttle introvert, shipping is for you. You got to just go with shipping because it's going to feed into that as well. But that's funny how that unfolds.
So true.
And I think it's really cool. You know, I was just sitting here thinking about this, you know, for most people, if you don't ship, most of your customer base, if not all your customer base, is local. But to think about, especially the art form of furniture refinishing, to think about your art, your pieces are going all across the country. You've got customers, you know, several hundred miles away. That's got to be pretty rewarding.
Yeah, it really, really is rewarding to think of all of the different people across the country that have spent quite a bit of money on furniture that I have painted. And it's like, wow, they actually really like my piece that much. Like, it feels very good.
Exactly. Well, let's talk a little bit about the video side of this. I mean, again, you go into a lot of detail from preparing your furniture for packing it, to pack it, to putting it on a pallet in a box. Plus, I believe you have like 10 parts that echo the written tutorial. So, and you pretty creative with how you developed that. Just give us some thought processes in that and whether it can be used separate from the tutorial, or it sounds like you've designed it to kind of go hand in hand.
So actually, the ebook came first. And originally, I was just like, maybe I'll do some videos. I don't know. And then I put it out there and asked some people, and they're like, oh, it would be so helpful to actually see you package a piece of furniture. So I was like, you know, that is very true, because a lot of times it's just, I just need to see it. So I started with that. And then I got thinking, you know, I'm a talker. I will just keep on talking. And so instead of just a few of these tips, and, you know, like, it's hard to write all of the information down in an ebook. And so I figured, you know, I'll basically go through the ebook through each section and I'll talk about it. So you'll actually get a lot more information out of the videos than the ebook, because I give you more details about each piece. But then there's also things in the ebook that I just kind of skim over in the videos, because I didn't necessarily want to just repeat everything. If you really like to just listen or to watch, I mean, in the videos where I'm going through the ebook, I'm basically just showing the book, showing each page, so you can kind of read through it while I'm talking or whatever. But if you prefer to read, then there's the written ebook for you. So it just kind of depends on how you like to learn. If you want to learn every little last thing about shipping, then it's best to read through it and to listen or watch the videos. But you can also, I like the ebook format because, you know, you might watch the videos, but then you actually are starting to ship furniture and you have a question. And so it's easy to go back into the ebook and just like quickly look up what I said about that or what the tip was or whatever, or get the links to the actual products that I use to package the furniture, or, you know, all of that stuff. So they go hand in hand. It just kind of depends on how you like to learn.
Well, Natalie, this was a ton of work. And what is so cool about it is that these tutorials, the guide with the YouTubes, were done as a result of all that you went through to expand your business and offer shipping. You've done all the hard work for folks, and it's almost like providing a personal shipping coach. So that's just phenomenal. I know you want to offer a special discount to podcast listeners. Tell us about that offer.
Yes. If you're anything like me, I love a good sale or discount. And so I wanted to offer you guys a 50% off discount. Just use the code ZIBRA50, ZIBRA50, all capitalized. You can find my ebook, my shipping guide, on my website or on Etsy. I love discounts, and I'm so thankful for you guys, Lane, and everything that you guys have done for me and for this this painting community. So I wanted to give you guys something a little extra.
Wow. I mean, 50%, that's an incredible deal. I mean, that's excellent. And like I said, I'm so impressed with it because it's so thorough, but yet it's not overwhelming when you get the information the way Natalie has laid it out. Now, let me ask you a quick question. How long will this deal be on for from the date of the podcast?
Honestly, I'm not setting an end date to it. So anybody who listens to the podcast is able to get that discount.
Excellent. Well, let's make sure that we clearly articulate your contact information. And what is that?
So you can find me on Facebook, A Ray of Sunlight, or you can find me on Instagram at A Ray of Sunlight Design. Somebody had already taken A Ray of Sunlight, and so I had to add the design onto it. You can find me on my blog or my website, arrayofsunlight.com. I also actually have a couple of blog posts about shipping furniture on my blog, and I have tons of information about how to even paint furniture and different things. So that's a huge resource for furniture painters too.
Well, before we go, I want to thank you, Natalie. You were a judge in last year's Zebra Diaries, the Golden Brush Awards, and this year's monthly contest, the Zebra Review. I know you enjoy it, but it is a lot of work going through entries each month and making those tough decisions with Lauren, Katie, and Keegan. Now, I have to ask you this. Do you guys get into any arguments or disagreements when you're making decisions?
No, we don't actually.
Such a cohesive group, right?
You know, you would think that we would have some arguments, but for the most part, we go through them separately, and then we say what our top contenders are, our favorites, and usually we already have, each person has picked out basically the same as what others have picked out. So it's usually pretty easy.
Again, thank you for joining us today, Natalie, and for this incredible deal, for all the work you put into this. If you are considering shipping your furniture pieces, please, we would encourage you to take a look at what Natalie is offering. So thanks again, Natalie. Hope you guys have a great afternoon.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on here. I have loved being a judge. Honestly, you guys are so great. Zebra is such a great part of the furniture refinishing family on Instagram. And I'm amazed all the time at what you guys do. So thank you so much for having me on here.
And thank you. We love every minute of it. Support for this podcast is made possible by Zebra, makers of the Palm Pro Paintbrush Series. The Palm Pro looks like no other brush you've ever seen. It is designed specifically to fit in the palm of your hands, leveraging your hand's most comfortable position, trading hand fatigue for comfort and control. Exactly what you need when painting any application. The Palm Pro comes in a 2-inch thin filament pack out, which makes it just right for cutting in next to trim, whether on a wall or a furniture piece. It also comes in a 2-inch thick filament pack out, which makes it just right for painting on surfaces like doors, trim, or furniture tops. The Palm Pro is the only brush designed to be an extension of your hand. Today's refinishing tip comes from Whitney Marzullo of White House on the Square.
My number one refinishing tip is just to use a really great quality brush like Zebra brushes. I think it just makes all the difference in the world to achieve that really great finish. Every once in a while, you get that piece of furniture that has an odor, the one where you open the drawer to the dresser and it just assaults you. So the first thing I do is I try to clean it with water and vinegar and sunshine. But if that doesn't work, I like to use some kind of odor blocking primer or product. My favorite is Dixie Belle's Boss, which I do use my Zebra brush to apply. I've learned that regardless of the product, it's often necessary to not only apply it to the inside and the outside of the drawer, but also to the inside of the piece.
Thanks, Whitney. We love the history of a piece, but none of us want to have a piece that carries its history and an odor. And I'm sure it's no surprise that we love Whitney's tip on the importance of using a quality paintbrush. If you would like to learn more about Whitney and her work, check out her Instagram account. It is White House on the Square, no spaces. White House on the Square. A few weeks ago in Season 2, Episode 10, we had Bree Hansen, our VP of Sales, on, and we learned more about Bree. But we also talked about her new IGTV series, Zebra Home Crafting with Bree. Today, we're having her back to share about her upcoming home crafting projects. Hi, Bree.
Hi, Lane. How are you?
I'm doing good. So good to have you back on. I know you and I chat daily as we work on projects, and you told me not too long ago that Emma is sleeping better at night, which means you are getting better sleep. Pretty nice, isn't it?
Yes, I feel like a new person. She has slept through the night. We're getting about 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. now, which is amazing. Now it's just she's hitting that 4-month mark, which apparently there's a 4-month sleep regression. So I'm just hoping that that doesn't hit anytime soon.
Oh, no. Is that what people are telling you?
That's what they say, but there's been no sign so far. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, well, it sounds at least you're on the up and up. I mean, isn't it amazing how you feel when you get good sleep?
Yeah. And it's also amazing how when you wake up one morning after you get a good night's sleep, it's just like so second nature. You don't even realize what just happened because it's normal and what should be happening to your body. So you just feel great.
Exactly. It's just when you're up in the middle of the night, two or three times, and you're thinking, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can make it the next day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, you have some really fun projects coming up on the Zebra Home Crafting IGTV series. Tell us a little bit about some of those that you have coming up.
Oh, yeah. We are very excited about the projects coming up. So we have a couple projects that will be nice if you're working from home and want some items to spruce up your home office or your desk. We have a desk calendar that we're working on, as well as a watercolor catch-all dish you could set on your desk for paper clips or anything you need to organize on your desk. We also have some really nice painting techniques coming up. We're doing a lot with whitewashing, watercolor, ombre, all those effects on various different crafts, which will be nice for the summertime and really bringing in some of those nice bright colors to our crafts. We're going to get a little festive for the 4th of July. I think we're going to make another t-shirt there, which I always love, getting back to my roots of clothing. And then even going further into July and August, we're going to continue some ombre and watercolor techniques and bring in some color block serving trays, as well as some fun ombre placemats, which will be great if, you know, you're having any friends over or outside dining at all during the summer months. So we're really, really excited.
I just want to say for our listeners, look for Thursdays is when we're going to introduce these. And our goal is to do these once a week. And this particular Thursday, we have one coming out that you're actually using for this particular craft. You're using something that people use in their painting process. Tell us a bit about that. And I'm not talking about paintbrushes, but there's something else that is used in this particular craft.
Yeah, this one is actually really neat because the supplies on this, you probably could find everything around your house. So we're actually going to be using paint sticks. So those paint sticks that you get from the paint store when you buy a gallon of paint and need to stir it up to mix it, we're going to be repurposing those and creating a hanging palette planter. So really cute to hang inside or outside. You could put succulents in it or little air plants, or even create a live garden and put some herbs in it. So that's going to be an interesting one and super easy to make.
Well, I know when I saw it, I was like, man, what a cool idea to use paint sticks to create something that is visually appealing outside of just stirring the paint can. So, I mean, really all of these, I just want to say all of these are really simple. They're clean, creative, and unique. And I think many of our furniture refinishing friends will enjoy taking these on and using them in their homes as gifts or as staging pieces, as we've talked about in the past. And for those of you who want to see pictures with a written tutorial, those will be offered soon as well, as we plan to have a tab on our blog that allows folks to see the pictures and read through the steps if they desire. Well, these are great. We look forward to rolling these out each week, Bree. Thanks so much.
Thanks. We're excited to see them as they launch.
Who is ready for summer and the warm days that drive everyone to the beaches? We couldn't help but echo that in the Zebra Review June 2020 theme of beachy blues. Blues of all hues, from the deep blue you see out on the ocean's horizon to the aqua blues working their way into the sandy shorelines. You pick the blue, paint it, and enter it. Use the hashtag #TheZebraReview and you'll have your piece before our judging panel, as they will choose three winners. Great prizes await the winners from the Real Milk Paint Company, D. Lawless Hardware, Surf Prep Sanding, and Zebra Paintbrushes. All pieces in blue refinished from January 2020 to June 30th, 2020 are eligible for entry. We wish, like many, that we could simply end our podcast with happy refinishing. But like many of you in this tumultuous time, our hearts are heavy. We want to join with you all with fervent prayers that with these heavy hearts, hearts will change. Hope is on the horizon. Stay safe, friends.